Well, thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship this morning. And thanks to you for joining us on this fourth Sunday of the Advent season. Only five more days until Christmas Day, and I know that's always exciting. It's an exciting time for myself and for our family. I trust that's exciting for you as well. And I really hope that you have been finding ways to celebrate and enjoy the presence of Jesus all throughout this season, not just on the 25th. For myself, whenever possible, I like to get out to the park, and I like to walk in the stillness and simply walk and talk with Jesus. And apart from the ice that often catches me off guard down at the river, I truly enjoy this time. I love the stillness. And even more so, I think I'm enjoying and appreciating it this year, because most often at Christmas season, there's so much activity that requires so much energy and so much time that those things simply aren't happening this year, that I'm having more time to just kind of rest in the presence and in the joy of Jesus. And I'm so grateful for that. That's a good thing. Now, I want to say a couple of things as we kind of enter into this last week before Christmas. The first thing is that on December 24th, normally we would have, multiple Christmas Eve worship services. We would share the story with whoever comes, and we love those times. Obviously, we're not doing that this year. What we are doing this year is joining up with an initiative by Gateway Church in town. And they initiated a Christmas service production that they have kind of steered and overseen. We have a small part in it, along with some other churches in town. And it's going to be shown on CKPG on Christmas Eve, and then again on Christmas Day. So look for details on our website. Perhaps it's even on our announcement loop this morning. And so I want to note that today. Second, I also want to say just a huge thanks on behalf of our staff team to our church family. It has been a challenging year on many fronts for many people, and you have been an encouragement to us. Whether it's been the emails or the phone calls, the notes of encouragement, the willingness to serve wherever possible. And I know that, there haven't always been a lot of things, but wherever possible, your ongoing financial giving. All of these expressions of support do not go unnoticed, and we say thank you. Over the next couple of weeks, our staff are taking holidays, and so the office hours are going to be a little lean, but we are going to be checking phone messages, and so if you do need to call, if there is an emergency or a crisis, please do not hesitate to call the church, or you can call me personally at home as well. I am totally fine with that. I see that the flights are pretty cheap to Hawaii these days, but don't worry, I'm not going to do anything like that. So I want to welcome you here this morning on this fourth Advent Sunday. And on this last Sunday before Christmas, we're going to be looking at a story in the middle portion of Luke chapter 2. We've been spending our time in the first two chapters of Luke's gospel over this Christmas season. And in this particular story, it's a story that challenges our perspective on waiting. Like, how many of us really like to wait? Some of you have probably had kids, younger kids perhaps, already whining to you this last week, like, how much longer do we have to wait? How many more days until Christmas? When can we open our Christmas gifts? Some others maybe have found yourself in a situation where someone in your family was in the bathroom and you were trying to get in there, and you're asking, like, how much longer are you going to be waiting? Both of our daughters had an interesting experience this last week. They've both been in this thing called the graduated driver licensing process, and that sure takes a whole lot longer than when I was a teenager, that's for sure. So our second daughter, Malia, she graduated this past week from her beautiful red L, and she graduated to the more beautiful green N, which now allows her more responsibility. But that was 1 year of process and waiting. Our oldest daughter, Adriana, she just turned 19, and she had that same green N that is now in Malia's possession, and she was able to remove it from her vehicle, and now she has graduated to the Class 5 driver license. But that has been a 3-year process to get to that point. Lots of waiting. Things have changed a lot since many of us were teenagers. We've been in our pandemic now for 9 months. And I just read this last week that every Canadian who wants a vaccine is going to be able to get it by September. So we only need to wait 9 more months. We're actually halfway through, so we can get through this thing together. We wait for a lot of things in this life, don't we? But it's not just the processes that are imported upon us, like graduated driver licensing programs or vaccination processes for a country. We wait for those things which are also deep within our hearts, the things that sometimes weigh us down, things that are significant and important to us. For some, it's a desire for a lifelong spouse. For others, it's the desire for their frailing body to be healed or to find a cure for the illness of a loved one. For other people, it's longing to be reunited with the one who has gone on before them. The things that matter to us, the things that are deep within us, they're things that often mean so much, and yet we have to wait for them. And waiting, as all of us know, is frustrating. It can be time-consuming. It can test our patience. It can test our character. It can test our faith in God. In our convenience-centered, throw-away, quick-fix, problem-solving culture, you know, waiting is not generally highly valued. It's not viewed as something that has significance, that it's something that actually can shape us. But as a child of God, waiting can actually shape those who allow it to. It actually does refine you if you let it. It does provide perspective on life. It does grow patience within you. It cultivates hope. It inspires those who allow waiting, and specifically waiting on God. As you consider your own life this morning, I want to ask this question of you. What is it that you're waiting for? And how are you doing in the waiting? I want to focus our thoughts this morning on this portion of Luke's gospel in Luke chapter 2, which was narrated to us just moments ago through the Sand Bible. This part of the Christmas story that Luke writes for us is centered in Jerusalem, and it's in an era that was, by all accounts, kind of gloomy, kind of dismal, not a lot of optimism and hope. This was an era where the Roman government was in power. They were a very oppressive regime. They did not take kindly to opposition. King Herod really was just a puppet kind of king under the Roman government. He was also emotionally unhealthy and not very stable, which made life very uneasy and uncomfortable for many. They waited for someone new, for something different who would come and lead them. And in the midst of this environment, we get this snapshot of an elderly man named Simeon. We don't really know a lot about Simeon, but there are a few characteristics given in this short passage of Scripture that give us an idea of what this man was like. In Luke chapter 2, verse 25, Luke writes this about Simeon. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Several qualities about Simeon that Luke describes, which are really, really important when we think about waiting and how God can use it. So if you remember a couple of weeks ago in Luke chapter 1, Zechariah was also described as righteous and devout. And here too, just one chapter later, so is Simeon. Simeon is a man who desired to follow God and his ways, even in a time, a culture, a city where things were pretty dark and gloomy. He would have been a faithful example to other people. He would have been a bright light shining in an often gloomy world. The things that confronted Simeon daily, not unlike maybe some of the situations or the circumstances that you or I often face, were the things that Simeon faced. Things where he wished things were better or different or more comfortable as he waited on God. In this setting, it was actually the hope of Jewish people that the Messiah would come, and that the Messiah would come and bring peace and comfort to the people of Israel, because the challenges that existed all around them were actually quite significant. Simeon maybe was even more hopeful than most Jews in this regard, because he's also described as one who is waiting for the consolation of Israel. And that phrase is actually used by the prophet Isaiah. If you read through the prophet of Isaiah from chapter 40 all through chapter 66, there's this theme of the consolation of Israel, where Isaiah writes about the coming of the Messiah, the promise of a Savior. And so Simeon waited. And sometimes that's what God calls us to do, to wait. And we don't get it. We don't understand it fully. Again, in our quick fix, convenience-oriented culture, who wants to wait? Waiting is not glamorous, but sometimes all God wants from us is to wait. Think about this past year. How many of us have at points along the journey felt like we just need to get on with it already? Like, when is this thing going to end? How much longer do we need to wait? But what if God wants to teach us something in the waiting? What if God wants to reveal something to you and to me that we can only experience as we wait patiently on Him, as we wait on His timing, as we wait on His ways and not ours? You see, if we cannot learn something about God and something that He wants to teach us from 2020, I don't think we're listening, because God uses times of waiting to mature those who desire to follow Him. I think Simeon was that kind of person. I think in the waiting, he allowed God to speak to him. Because the third characteristic that we're told from Luke about Simeon is that the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, this is actually quite significant, because at this time in history, not all believers in Yahweh had the Holy Spirit upon them. the Holy Spirit might come upon a person for a while, and then he might leave. If you read through the Old Testament, there's numerous occasions where this is evidenced. Samson was an individual who would experience the presence and the power of God's Spirit sometimes, and then sometimes the Spirit would leave. King David once prayed in Psalm 51 that he wished, he desired that God's Spirit would not be taken from him after his sin with Bathsheba. He longed to be near God, to listen to what God had to say to him. But since Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, we know that the Holy Spirit dwells in all believers. So Simeon is one of these privileged saints prior to Pentecost who had received the Holy Spirit and who was specially chosen by God to carry within his spirit this very special message about the coming Messiah. Verse 26. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Like, stop and think about that for a moment. Can you imagine? That is really, really cool. Can you imagine if God revealed to you a plan that he had for you and for your life? Like, you're waiting on God for a spouse and he shows you. He reveals it to you. Or you're waiting on God for direction in life and he provides it for you. Like, I don't want you to take this lightly, because if followers of Jesus have the Holy Spirit living within them who does not leave them, the Holy Spirit does speak. The Holy Spirit does give direction. I am one who gives testimony to this truth. I've had two very significant instances in my life where this has happened. And I don't share this lightly, because this is a big deal. The first instance was January 26th, 1995, when I knew that God was revealing his plan for me for a wife for whom I'd been praying diligently for years. It's obviously a much longer story than that, but God spoke to me very clearly through his word, through his people, and by his Holy Spirit who lives within every believer, including me. The second instance was December 9th, 2016, when both Leanne and I knew that God was making it clear that he had plans to move us to Prince George. How did we know? Well, we had been waiting patiently on the Lord, like many people do. We had been seeking him for guidance. We had been listening to his voice. We had surrendered our plans to him, and we wanted to obey God wherever he might lead us. You see, over the years, though we've not always got it right, we've come to believe through a personal relationship with God that God does speak to us and he does reveal his will. But he does it in his time and in his way. As we wait on God, are we listening to what God is saying through his word, through his people, by his Holy Spirit who dwells within us? And then are we willing to obey what he says and when he speaks? So imagine being told that you will not die until Jesus, the Messiah, comes. The consolation of Israel, the one who will bring ultimate deliverance from the suffering, the pain, the hardship, the tyranny. Forgiveness from sin, freedom from bondage and addictions, light in the darkness, victory over death. the one who can restore lives has come and is now here. Like, can you imagine that promise? What an amazing promise. What an amazing motivation for which to live. But what a long time to wait. Because the text makes it clear that Simeon is elderly. He is ready to die. He is only going to see the consolation of Israel. He is only going to see Jesus, the Messiah, briefly before he passes away. And it makes me wonder how Simeon managed in the waiting. Like, how did he live? What was life like for him? Did he tell other people about this amazing promise that had been given to him by the Holy Spirit? Did he share that with others throughout his life, or did he keep it to himself? Was he ever discouraged? Did he ever wonder if he had misheard God's voice along the way? I would understand if that was part of his experience, because that's been part of mine. Maybe it's been part of yours as well. Was Simeon perfectly content in his life? Or did he ever ask the question, how much longer, God, must I wait? Because I'm almost dead. So earlier at the beginning of this sermon, I asked you, for what are you waiting? Is there something deep within your heart that you have been waiting on God for? And do you find yourself, you know, watching the days and the weeks and the months and the years pass by, wondering how much longer? Wondering if it's worth the wait? Wondering if it's just a fruitless exercise? Like, why? What's the purpose, and what does God want to show me? And as I think about Simeon and his story, waiting on the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, I think there's several really, really important lessons that followers of Jesus need to learn or relearn once again, especially perhaps in a season and in a time in which we live. Let me share two lessons that I think are absolutely critical for believers in Jesus to embrace. And the first is this: as you wait on God, you express hope. As you wait on God, you express hope. You see, waiting is not a fruitless exercise. It is not hopeless and bleak. As you wait on God, you express hope. And hope is a good thing. But hope is much more than a good thing, and hope is much more than wishful thinking. You see, when I say to you that I hope that there's going to be a COVID vaccination program that will be completed by the end of 2020, I'm really expressing wishful thinking. And you would know that, because you and I both know that that's not going to happen in my timeline, in my time frame, the way that I want it to go. True biblical hope is rooted in a foundation that is much more solid than wishful thinking. It's much more certain. And in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul writes about the challenges and the suffering and the pain and the longings of a broken world, the waiting of creation where all things will be made right once again. And then the Apostle Paul describes the kind of hope that's found within those who are children of God, even as we wait. And this is what Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 24 and 25. Underline these words in your Bible, especially if you're going through a time where you're waiting on God and you're wondering, is it worth it? And what in the world is God trying to teach me? This is what Paul says. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Simeon, he eagerly waited for the Messiah. But in his waiting, he was expressing hope. Because we know that the foundation on which he expressed this hope was really, really solid. It was built on his understanding of God, on God's word to him. That's how he lived. And he was prepared to live in God's ways and in God's timing. Simeon banked on that kind of hope, the certainty that came with knowing God. He had not yet seen the Messiah, but he believed in the promise of God's word that the Messiah would indeed come. That's where Simeon's hope was rooted. And it's the kind of hope that's worth living for. So even as you wait on God in your particular circumstance or your unique situation for what you do not yet have, that thing that you long for, the thing that you are waiting for. Maybe it's for estranged family members to be reunited. Maybe it's for the fragile body to be healed or the cure to be found for an illness of a loved one. Maybe it's for the emotional anguish to end. Ultimately, your hope and my hope as children of God are not built on wishful thinking or imperfect medical systems or human government, all of which are severely limited. Our hope is found in a limitless and abundant God who helps us in our weakness, as Romans says, as we wait in our weakness, and who will someday restore all things and make all things new. That is where our hope is found. So as you wait on God, you express hope, and God uses hope to shape you to become more like His Son Jesus. The second lesson that I want to share with us from the life of Simeon is that as you wait on God, you bring light into your world. You bring light. Maybe you've noticed, if you've been following through these last few weeks in Luke chapter 1 and 2, that all the different characters that emerge in Luke's version of the Christmas story speak about God or describe God speaking to people. Speaking to people. Zechariah and Elizabeth, who were told of Jesus' birth. An angel came to them, told them that their son would be born, which was totally astounding to them. And this son would make way for Jesus to come into the world. Their son who would make way for the arrival. Then the shepherds, as we heard about last Sunday, they're told out in the fields about Jesus' birth. And now here in Luke chapter 2, two elderly people, Simeon and Anna, waiting for a very, very long time. Simeon, for sure, motivated by a promise that he would not die until he saw Jesus. So why would God do this? Why would God break into the lives of these ordinary folks and speak to them, revealing himself and revealing his plans to them? And I think it's actually quite simple. I think he does that, and he did that with these individuals for the same reason he's been doing it through all of history, through creation, through the people of Israel, through the prophets, ultimately through Jesus Christ, the consolation of Israel, and now through disciples of Jesus. I think the reason is really, really simple. God desires to be known and worshiped by all people everywhere. His love knows no bounds. It crosses all barriers, social barriers, racial barriers. Whoever you are and whatever your story is, God wants to reveal himself to you. And when God is known personally, like when I have come to know God personally, not just theoretically, not just academically, but personally, one cannot help but be a witness to him, bringing light to the world in which we live. So that was Zechariah and Elizabeth's story. God spoke to them. They were changed, and they started talking about everything that God had done for them. That was the story of the shepherds. God met them in that field at night, miraculously spoke to them. They followed his direction, went to see the Christ child, and then they went and told everybody about what they had seen and heard. And that's the same with Simeon and Anna. All ordinary people experiencing God personally, experiencing transformation, and then living differently, loving differently, leading differently. Simeon, he waited for a long time. And as he waited, he followed God. He did not get distracted. He did not meander or wander away. He followed God, and he followed God's ways in a land that was dark and gloomy and dismal and filled with misery and pain. He could have joined up with all kinds of other rebel groups trying to overthrow Herod, but he chose to follow God's ways. He lived differently in the waiting. All those around him, Simeon lived differently. He was faithful when others were faithless. He was honorable when others were not. He sought direction from God when others chose to do life their way. And he lived like this from everything that Luke tells us. He lived like this right into his elderly years until he passed away. While we wait, we have the opportunity to be light. And I know that this past year has brought its fair share of discouragement for many people in our church family. The temptation to grumble, to complain, to join the gloom and doom as we wait for things to change. That temptation has been great. But you know what? Many people in our church family are seeking to be beacons of light wherever they can be and however they can be. I simply want to say thank you. You're an encouragement. You're a blessing. You're an example. You're making a difference. We had the privilege this past Monday of having a small memorial service for John Berger. You can watch that on our website, online, or through Facebook. And one of the things that characterized John right up until his passing, like literally 2 weeks before his passing, he was doing the things that he had been doing throughout his adult life after he came to know Jesus. He was being a beacon of light and hope to those who were on the street, to the vulnerable of our city. What an encouragement, right up until the end. John would have loved things to have been different. And yet as he waited for things to be different, even in our world, he didn't allow that to stop him from doing the things that God had called him to do. Because that's who we are. We are people of light, even as we wait along with everyone else. I personally have had two experiences in the past week which have actually been so encouraging and so refreshing in this regard in light of this past year. In one experience, a simple 10-minute errand to renew a driver's license turned into a 30-minute discussion with a government employee who wanted to know what it was like for me to come and pastor a church in an atheist city. I just about burst out laughing. I had to stop and say, come again? Like, tell me a little bit about what you're thinking here. I'm pretty certain that everybody else in the office heard our conversation. What an opportunity, though, in the waiting to be a beacon of light. A second experience unfolded online, where an individual from a totally different city found us and is seeking answers to the meaning and purpose of life, the big questions of life, and they are hungry. They are engaging in this online relationship, which is essentially being a discipling kind of relationship. Why have these things been refreshing to me, an encouragement? Because there have been moments in these past months throughout 2020 where I've asked myself the question, like, am I making a difference in this world as we wait for things to change? Am I making a difference in anyone's life in this reality as we wait for it to pass? And the answer for each of us is yes, because as people of light, we live and we love and we lead differently. We also know the consolation of Israel. We also know the one whom Simeon saw. We too have experienced the salvation, which is for all people. We have this hope that lives within us. And so until Jesus comes again, as we wait by our actions, by our testimonies, we bear witness to this incredible news that Jesus, the Messiah, has come to bring salvation to everyone. So as I close this message before Christmas, I want to encourage and challenge each one who proclaims to follow Jesus with this truth. Continue to be light in your world, even where it looks pretty dark. Continue to be the light as you wait. As you wait on God for those things that are deep within your heart, you demonstrate hope because you know that even though those things may never materialize in this life, you have the certain hope that one day and one day soon, all things will be made right when Jesus comes again. And so you live out of that hope, and your hope is in Jesus. It's actively lived as you trust in Him. It sheds light to all those around you. And your capacity to hope and to trust and your ability to bring light is all because of who Jesus is and what He has done for you, how He lives within you. He is your hope. He is your light. Simeon saw Him with his own eyes, and He now lives within all who have received Him. So I want to challenge those and encourage those who know Jesus with this truth. But you could be watching, and you may find this difficult to understand. You might not personally embrace Jesus as the Messiah. He is not a part of your life, and I simply want to say thanks for watching and joining us this morning. And if that's true, it's no surprise to Jesus that you don't understand or that you have not yet embraced Him. Maybe you have no perceived need of Jesus, or perhaps you oppose Him outrightly. It's no surprise to God, because in this story in Luke chapter 2, Simeon actually shares with Joseph and Mary, the parents of Jesus, the earthly parents of Jesus, that this is how it's going to go. That there are going to be people, some people, who are going to embrace Jesus. They're going to believe in this truth that this, in fact, is the Messiah, the one to make all things right, the one who will bring consolation and comfort and victory and freedom and forgiveness. And Simeon says some are going to believe that and they're going to cherish it. They're going to receive it for themselves. But Simeon says others, this baby is actually going to be a stumbling block. Someone who's going to get in the way for their life. It doesn't have to be that way, but for some, that's where it is. And that might be where you're at today. Doesn't mean that you have to stay in that spot, because again, I want to say that God's love knows no bounds. His love crosses all barriers. He loves you deeply and personally, and he would love for you to receive this gift of his son. And so I hold that out to you today, 5 days before Christmas. I hold out the best gift that you could ever receive, that God's love for you is truly found in the person of Jesus. He's here for you. He wants to walk with you forever, and you can trust him. This Christmas, you might be waiting for a lot of things, some things that are very, very significant or deep in your heart. But I want to suggest to you that the most important thing that you can receive is Jesus, whom ultimately you're waiting for. Let me pray for us today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for this timeless story that reveals to us once again the meaning of life, the purpose of life. We thank you that you made a way for each one to have a relationship with you through the person of Jesus. And so we unapologetically share that with all people. I pray today that you would encourage each one with this word, that in their waiting, they would ultimately see that you are leading them and guiding them, that you bring hope and light, and that as they wait on you, they do the same. I pray, Lord, for the one who maybe has not yet received this amazing gift, and I pray that even today, something would change within their heart, that they would see with new eyes. Eyes that are opened, eyes that see for the first time your amazing gift of Jesus. And so we pray that you would go before us and guide us as we worship you, as we celebrate Christmas with our families, with those in our bubbles. We look forward to proclaiming the great news that you've come to bring us salvation. And we commit our day and our week to you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. On these last couple of days before Christmas, I truly want to bless you and wish God's blessing upon you as you experience Jesus personally. Go in peace.